In today's episode, we're going to do a deep dive into the five love languages and talk about communication in the context of Valentine's Day. How to give your significant other, your partner, your spouse, your friend, the perfect gift. We're going to analyze and reclaim the Hallmark holiday and then figure out how to leverage these types of conversations and this understanding of your partner to have more fulfilling communication in every other aspect of your life. Welcome to Choose FI.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
All right, everyone. So, you know, kind of over this season, sporadically, we've been hitting this idea of communication with a spouse, partner, friend, and we've done it through the lens of the four tendencies, most recently with Gretchen Rubin, also with Larry Hagner from the Dad Edge podcast, talking about financial intimacy. And over the last several months, I have heard Brad mention no less than four times the impact of one book, The Five Love Languages. And after kind of delay on that, because we wanted to do a little prep around it, we thought with the Hallmark holiday right around the corner, aka Valentine's Day, we could spend a little bit of time here. So with that, help me with this. I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan, I'm doing quite well. Yeah, it's hard to believe, actually, that the Hallmark holiday, as you call it, is right around the corner. This has been a fast first month of the year. It's hard to believe January has come and gone. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people at this point, whether in the FI community or out, are thinking about Valentine's Day. What does that look like? What do you spend? What's appropriate, right? Or other types of nonsense words people use to describe how you show your love. And I think at its essence, that is really what we're talking about here. How do you show your love? How do you show your appreciation? That's the beauty of this book, The Five Love Languages, that I was introduced to by my wife, Laura, and actually by Larry Hagner of the Dad Edge podcast. So it's always nice, and we talked about this with Gretchen Rubin, it's always interesting to learn more about where other people are coming from and what lights them up. I think we go through the world and we go through life thinking that we are the center of the universe, just by definition, because we're in our own heads 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for hopefully 100 years, right? So you think of everyone else around you as these actors that are in this play that's centering around you. What you don't realize, and I'm saying this tongue in cheek, of course, but what you don't realize is that how you look at the world isn't necessarily, and almost by definition, is not how everyone else looks at the world. And I think this was a huge realization for me in my own life. I mean, I think at some point I was maybe that self-centered person who said, oh, it's so logical. How could you not look at it like this X situation or Y situation? But then you realize people are approaching it from entirely different mindsets, motivations, and just approaches. I mean, I don't know how else to put it other than people just see the world differently. And Jonathan, anytime that you see something like this, the five love languages or four tendencies, it does give you a greater appreciation for that.
I think you're right. And I think so. It's not just me and you, two bozos talking to a microphone by ourselves. I thought also, MK, we could include you in this conversation also. Have you read The Five Love Languages?
Yes. Jason and I did The Five Love Languages together as a couple when we were still dating. So maybe a year or so in, just to, you know, keep growing, keep working together. And then when we got engaged, we received three copies as wedding gifts.
The most over-gifted.
Yes. But it was good. People knew that it was a good book to go through. So we already knew our love languages. So we were able to re-gift those to others who could use it. But we definitely reference this book quite often. And every once in a while, we'll just say, hey, how's your love tank doing? Which is a phrase that comes from the five love languages to make sure the other person is doing well. They're getting what they need. So we definitely make use of this concept.
Very cool. Well, we don't have Gary Chapman on the show today, so we'll just have to do our best without him. But I do think there's an awesome conversation here. I think that absence will allow us to have a little bit of flexibility with this and really tailor this conversation towards Valentine's Day. And I think there's a couple ways to approach Valentine's Day. There's the traditional way, which is just do whatever society tells you to do. There's a lot of pink and red involved, and a triple the cost of whatever something would cost normally. Really, really high expectations, or a lot. Or on the other end of this, there's a lot of cynicism. Like, we just don't do anything. We don't think about it. No, it's a consumer holiday. Absolutely not. Would never do it. And I think there's some kind of sweet spot in the middle, which says that we have an opportunity to tell our loved ones that we notice them, that we love them, and we appreciate them. And you certainly are not limited, nor should you limit this to Valentine's Day. In fact, I would even maybe make the case in my final thoughts that we do it outside of the specific window. But we'll come back to that later. But since Valentine's Day is here, this is an excuse for us to kind of explore this and think through how we're kind of sharing our affection, our love, in a way that mirrors up to another person's love language. So that brings me to a slight, Brad, I'm oddly prepared for today's episode. In fact, I think in the history of Choose FI, I have never come to an episode with notes. And so, Andrew, why don't you go and throw that slideshow up on the screen here? What do you got for us? There it is. Look at that. That's a slideshow. It says the five love languages.
That's very impressive. It looks like it took a lot of time to come up with that slide.
All right, so I got three words. This will be on the YouTube channel. You'll laugh with me if you're on the YouTube channel. But no, I thought we could kind of go through this. So the five love languages is actually broken up into ways that people show their affection or receive affection. And I did not include these in the order that they're in the book necessarily. If they are in order that they are in the book, then that's total coincidence. But I thought we could kind of go through these, and we could do one, Brad, kind of have you explain what the different love languages are. And we'll start with this one, acts of service first. And then two, we can kind of break away from that and explore what that might look like in the context of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Jonathan, that sounds great. And I thought we would define what these five love languages are. So the first is acts of service, then words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, and physical touch. So those are the five. And like you said, let's start with acts of service as the first one here.
Now, I think in the book, they actually qualify that some are larger than others, you know, kind of just like in the four tendencies, obligers and questioners are more common than rebels and upholders, right? So kind of with the love languages, you see this as well. Acts of service, I believe, Brad, you were telling me that acts of service is one of the smaller categories. But in summary, someone whose love language is acts of service, this love language would basically be, it would include anything that you would do to ease the burden of responsibility. I think that's actually the quote. So like an example of that might be you thinking about what this other person takes on and then you doing that to take this off their plate.
Right. So like mowing the lawn or cleaning the dishwasher, washing the clothes, those type of things. So that would be an act of service. Now, interestingly, Jonathan, and when I know MK said, love tank, that's an interesting little quirky phrase. But it's important to note here from the outset of this that if you're doing these things, right, an act of service, I think by any definition, is a nice thing. And there's no arguing that. I think what's really essential is you're looking to speak the love language of your partner or the person in question here, right? It might even be your kids, right? So when you're communicating, I know when I communicate with my daughter, Anna, I know that she is a words of affirmation person, and we'll get to this in a minute, but that's the lens with which I approach communication with her now. While an act of service is almost undeniably a good thing, if that is not the love language of the person in question, they're not going to do backflips thanking you over and over again because it's not hitting them as if it were their love language. They'll be appreciative, but it's not essential for, again, that kind of love tank to be filled, let's say.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So I think it makes it so interesting and compelling to pair this with this Hallmark holiday, right? Because if we're going to give someone a gift and we're tying it to this arbitrary date in February, our gift is really intended to say is that we love you, we appreciate you, we recognize you. And if you're just assuming, like if you're not really thinking about their love language, like, man, if I just did all your work for you, everything that you normally do through the day, I just go through the day, do that. But that's not their love language. You get no credit. It might be a great thing to do just generally, make for a better marriage, better relationship, whatever. But in terms of giving a gift to someone, then you really need to think about. On the other side of that, if you can think about it, you're like, oh, wow, they do really appreciate it when I do stuff. you could dial that to a 10 and that doesn't cost anything, right? So if you know their love languages is act of service, why would you spend money on a card, a $7 Hallmark card, when you could instead look through their list of things that they do every single day and say, you know what? Today, I want to take on the vacuuming, the cleaning. I want to wash, I want to do dishes. I'm going to fold the clothes. I'm going to put the kids down. I'm going to walk the dogs. I'm going to fold the clothes today. I'm going to create your favorite restaurant meal. I'm going to create that at home, whatever it is. And I want you to experience it. In fact, I just want you to go like get some sort of R&R relaxation event while I'm doing all this. And just, I want you to have a restful day. That doesn't have to cost a whole lot of money. And you are speaking to that person's soul in a way that a Hallmark card simply can't if their love language is acts of service. And we're going to keep exploring all of them. But like, as you're thinking about who this individual is in your life, just know that you can crush the game, right? You can crush the game if you understand what it is that your partner wants. And you get benefits when you are trying to communicate in other areas of your life if your partner, one, trusts you, and then two, feels that you appreciate them and know them, understand them as a person.
Right. And like you're talking about here, approaching it through a FI lens, through the lens of spending money. If acts of service is their love language, then you don't have to go out and buy fancy things for Valentine's Day or for any day, because they're not going to value that. That might be someone who is the gift receiving love language, right? It's not acts of service. So that person, acts of service, would clearly appreciate and benefit from you cleaning the dishwasher more than getting
cleaning
a dozen roses.
Cleaning the dishwasher.
Yeah. No, man, empty. That's empty. Oh, boo. No, not that's cleaning.
No, that could be an act of service. Maybe okay. It's never been cleaned.
Sometimes I mean, you have to clean it.
Yeah, you got to run some vinegar. I'm just making stuff up.
That's
here.
Good. That's good.
Well, is that actually a thing?
That's a thing. That's 100%. Nice. MK, I'm just wondering like your
sorry,
thoughts.
Sorry, Laura.
Acts of service.
Yeah, well, this conversation reminds me, there was a very early episode of Choose FI, and there was somebody who wrote in saying that his wife really wanted the dinners out. The Ruth Chris steakhouse taste is what she had. And then they had this conversation to uncover. She didn't necessarily want to go out for steak. She just knew when they went out to dinner, the phones were away and they were focused on each other.
Oh, MK, and you got to stick with the slides here. You're moving into a different love language already. But that's it.
Exactly. You know, what she wanted was quality time, which we'll get to later, which is a love language. But what he was giving her was these gifts of going out to dinner. And so when you have that conversation, you can better align it. So I absolutely agree with the acts of service. And yes, you do sometimes have to clean out your dishwasher, not just empty it. You have to clean it.
Right? Oh, my Long Island ridiculous look.
Or go to the food store.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, we're going to roll through these. And I want to preface this for someone that is like a love language purist. Like, you might be thinking, well, that is not the order that I read them in the book. And yeah, you're probably right. I arranged these in a way that was convenient for the story that we wanted to tell today. So number two on this list is words of affirmation. Now, I tell you something. It's always been very hard for me to identify my own love language, but it's been very easy for me to see it in others, you know, see it in others. So I'm just curious, you know, really the value is that you can see what someone else's love language is. It's interesting to know your own, but to see the value, that's useful just because of that. For those of you that say you can't fit me in a category, fine. Figure out what category someone else goes in. All right, number two, words of affirmation. Brad.
Yeah, this, I believe, is one of, if not the largest category of the five love languages. This is basically saying nice things about your partner. It could be as simple as, I love you. Starting with that. Also talking about the things that you appreciate about them. I know this happens to be my love language, actually, words of affirmation. So I know pretty much anytime somebody says something nice about me, it just feels good. What I've learned about this is it feels better for me than it would for someone who doesn't have this as their primary love language. It's just saying something nice. And again, we talk about cost. It sure doesn't cost anything to say something nice. So if you know that your partner is working really hard at something or is just doing a great job, go out of your way to just tell them, because that means so much more to them. It can start with something as simple as, I love you, but it can get down into the very specific of, wow, you're working so hard at X. I really appreciate that. It means so much to me. What a great job. Anything, right? It could be any of these little things. I appreciate you. Thank you. That was nice of you. all these things, they feel especially good for people who words of affirmation is their love language.
Yeah, and I think you were hinting at that there, but to even like nail it down a little further, it's the I love you, but it's actually the reason behind the I love you. You can go a little bit farther with that and actually say, I love you because I notice how much you do this, this, and this, and you don't have to. I appreciate your skill at the way you handled that conversation. So it's not even necessarily I love you. It's noticing how awesome they are in so many different aspects of their life. It's a way of you expressing verbally your gratitude as opposed to maybe just having a smile on your face that you keep to yourself and you feel warm and fuzzy, but you never tell that individual how much you appreciate them or offer that verbal kindness or affirmation. You're robbing them of their love language if you don't do that. And this can be verbal. It could also be written. It says words of affirmation. It could be, what if you did, and I have this listed down later, what if you did a gratitude journal? I heard someone basically say they were feeling kind of bitter and cynical, and so for a month, they just, at the end of every day, as part of their journaling process, they wrote a single sentence about something that they were grateful for. And in the particular context here, something that they were grateful for about their spouse or their partner. Not only do they feel that changing their soul, but also it manifested in their actual relationship, right? Although that person didn't see that, they just realized that by taking the time to write it down in the gratitude journal. But again, now hear me, this person, the other recipient here, their love language is words of affirmation. So right now, when you have this gratitude journal that you're working on for a month, you're keeping to yourself, that's not feeding that person's love language. But what if you took those 30 days of gratitude and you bundled those up and you gave it to this person as a Valentine's Day present? Over the last 30 days, this, you know, every single day, I took some time to just mark down and write down and notice something about you that I love or something about you that I appreciate it. And this is my gift to you, 30 days gratitude. I just want you to know how much I love you. And you can see this is just, it's the tip of the iceberg. You've just blown their mind. You've given them a gift that is related directly to their love language. It costs nothing because it's priceless, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think it's also important to note that conversely, for someone who words of affirmation is their love language, saying something negative bites even harder. Again, it's just important to know the person that you're dealing with and you're trying to communicate with. I think that's just an essential piece. And I talked before, I mentioned my daughter, Anna. She is probably the textbook case of words of affirmation. You can just see her eyes light up when you say something nice about her. But when you try to give, let's say, and certainly I'm never saying anything mean, but it's constructive criticism about something, I have to go out of my way to be extra special careful to not say anything that she could even construe in the tiniest bit as negative. Because I know, I can see it on her face. She looks crestfallen. It just is almost instant. So I have had to change how I interact with her when we're talking about, let's say, her swimming. This is something she's trying to improve at, but I don't now lead the conversation with, okay, this is something you're currently not so great at. Let's work on it. As opposed to, I've had to reframe it to, I don't even know. I mean, it's a kind of an odd example. I don't want to give specifics here about swimming and bore everybody.
Specifically, but talking about the things that they're trying very hard. Yes, I can see how much effort you're putting into this.
Right, at your starts and your turns and things like that. So as opposed to, okay, that's your weakness. Let's work on it. It's, okay, I think you can make a huge improvement and, you know, move ahead if you do this. So anyway, like I said, that's just one anecdote, but I think it's really important to note that for people who words of affirmation is their love language, saying negative things really, really hurts significantly.
So obviously a lot of this words of affirmation, very inexpensive, written note, voice message, gratitude journal, handwritten letter. If you want a consumer product, I'm not telling you there's anything wrong with that. I actually was able to dig up a What I Love About You book. I think it's priced somewhere between $7 to $11. And it has these prompts for you that actually have you address different characteristics of the intended recipient. And it will force you to think about them in a creative way. And you can fill this thing out over time and you can give it to them as a gift. Again, very inexpensive. MK, words of affirmation. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is my top love language too. So I am all about this one. I'm very in tune to it. And I think because I understand what I need, I can also express it back to people. So now, you know, when we have a family member who comes over for the holidays and they just want to go out shopping, like their love language is giving gifts. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? I really just want to spend time with you and have a good conversation. Cause I know like I'm going to value the words that we exchange more than oh, we went out and bought this stuff that I'm not going to remember in a couple of years. Whereas for them, that's like the best part of it. They get to give gifts. So I think understanding it for yourself is really important, because then you know how to communicate what you want when people ask, like, oh, this holiday is coming up, what do you want? Or, oh, like, we should do this. You can better like convey what you need to get what you want out of that situation.
Awesome. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. And I can tell you for a fact, I know for a fact, this is my wife's love language. So obvious. Number three on this list, quality time. Because it's my wife, so I'm going to go and take the opportunity here to say this language is all about giving your partner your undivided attention. And what that means practically, I think for her, no TV, no cell phone. No cell phone for 24 hours, right? That's so inexpensive, but at the same time, painful. But at the same time, if you really love someone, you understand that their thing is quality time. Like, if I want to have a very inexpensive Valentine's Day, I could just take my cell phone and put it in a lockbox for 24 hours and let her know that I'm doing that because I want to tell her that I love her and I want to dedicate the next 24 hours to us having an epic quality time. Then you can build it out from there. But I mean, it doesn't start as being very expensive, right?
Yeah, I definitely hear you. This is yet another one of these things that it just doesn't cost that much. It doesn't cost that much to spend time with someone. And MK, you were talking about way back when, probably 2.5 years ago, when we received that voicemail, that was a real eye-opener for me of this woman wanted her husband's undivided attention. She didn't want the fancy dinners. She just wanted him to put his stupid cell phone away and pay attention to her. That is pretty much the textbook case of quality time. Yeah, Jonathan, I agree. I think this is probably Laura's love language as well. And for us, it's putting everything away and actually scheduling out time. So that is a really important aspect for her.
You guys are now doing CrossFit together. Yeah. I know you schedule, like you'll go to, I don't know if it's called happy hour when you're having it before lunch, but you guys will actually go test out different restaurants in Richmond and get their lunch special.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just putting it on the calendar for her is an aspect of this quality time, which is interesting. That's just maybe a little quirk that's specific to her that she appreciates that even more. Like it makes the quality time even better.
Yeah, the actual scheduling. Yeah. I hear what you're saying there, and I think I've missed that. I'm close.
Because it's so important that it goes on the schedule and it's sacrosanct, right? Like we cannot touch those couple hours that we're going to even just play board games. Like even if we're literally just sitting in our kitchen playing Dominion, which is our new favorite game here.
Great things about Dominion.
It is amazing.
Maybe we can get to gift giving in a second.
Here. Yeah. But having it on the schedule has made a big difference.
All right. So spending time with your partners, about being together, paying attention to each other, share something meaningful together, listening and communicating. There is no cost automatically baked in to any of that. So like what would it look like practically for you? Could you prepare dinner together, make a homemade pizza together, talk while preparing it, figure out that favorite meal? It's not just, you know, with acts of service, it was, hey, I'm going to make this meal for you. With quality time, they don't want to be in the other room while you're doing this. This is something that you can do together. Take a painting class together, go take a tutorial, but do it together. You're not sending them off. It's something that you're doing together. If you're doing your budget party, because you've gotten such buy-in and you so look forward to scheduling that time together, you're sharing your plans for the future. Create something together. You want to learn a new skill, learn it together. You want to go to a rock gym, go to the rock gym together. Whatever that looks like for you, if this is your partner's love language, and Brad, I've missed up to this point the scheduling part, and that's massive. If they know it's, you prioritize everything else. You prioritize your work, you prioritize your friends. Why would you not prioritize your partner, your loved one? I think that's big. So I actually took some opportunity here based on some very minimal research that I did to come up with another list of ideas for you, which I'll quickly read off, but most of these are free. No phones for 24 hours. That's so easy, but hard. I hear you. Read a book together, scavenger hunt, go on a picnic, walk or bike together. Do they still have red boxes? Like, can you like actually get a DVD? That's a thing?
Oh, that exists.
Yeah. Okay. So go get a red box movie night, or for you friends of the library, you go to the library, do a movie night go get a movie from the library, dine out on the cheap, go take a local tour. What would it look like to be a tourist in your own local city? We've talked about planned spontaneity. What would it look to blow it up? My wife loves hot chocolate. Loves hot chocolate. I don't know why. It just tastes like brown sugar water. But to her, it's like a favorite thing in the world. We could get hot chocolate, and then I have a guilty pleasure for kettle corn. Orville Redenbacher's for the win. If that's your thing, do that again. It doesn't cost anything. We like to make, you ever take pretzels and dip them in chocolate and then coat them with some sort of fun, you know, kind of white chocolate glaze or colored white chocolate glaze? Do some, make a homemade treat. You can include your kids in this if you want to. But if you're doing it from this is our priority, like you are going to get kudos and like everything we've mentioned up to this point, these three love languages, they cost nothing, right? They cost absolutely nothing. So let's move over to something that costs some money. Don't have to break the bank, but it's like, it's a love language. We need to recognize, again, we're looking at someone else. You're not picking your love language. You're noticing a fact about reality, right? So let's say this other individual is this next love language. Brad, you want to tee it up for us?
Yeah, so this is receiving gifts. And I think it's fairly self-explanatory as far as actually gift giving. But I think really the important aspect of this is the love and thoughtfulness behind the gift, right? The effort that you went through to think about what would be right for them and then track it down and get it for them, right? It's not just showering them with arbitrary gifts. It's the thought that goes through and how much you know and understand them, how much they would appreciate that particular gift. So I think there is some nuance here as opposed to just buying expensive things every single day. So in essence, actions speak louder than words. It's not just about, for this person, it's not about those words of affirmation. It's not about any of the other ones we've mentioned before. It's about going through the effort to find that gift that will mean something to them.
Yeah, and I think the gifts one is very, very tricky because it's easy to get lost in, oh, well, if I just spend more, that's how I'm proving how much I love you, right? It's just your love is anchored to how much you actually spent. That's where the cynicism comes in. That's why I think all of us, just the contrarian nature in all of us says, no, come on. In fact, you actually see examples where someone will buy their significant other this multiple, and this isn't a bloated example, but a multiple $100,000 million gift. And you're like, well, he's apologizing for something, you know, like it went really, really south. Like, and that's, it's probably true in that case, but it doesn't have to be that. I think if you're doing gift giving the right way, you're thinking about something that you know means a lot to them, something more than just stuff. It can be stuff, but it symbolizes something, a life that you want to live together. And I think you can actually, if you're doing gift giving the right way, this is not the fact that you were able to max out your credit card. This is not the fact that they've never seen anything so expensive in their life. This is you noticing some unique characteristic about your partner and you finding and identifying that gift that meets them where they are.
And MK, it's interesting to note also that while we've said our primary love languages are X, in my case and in your case as well, words of affirmation is the number one, but there can be secondary love languages as well.
Absolutely. And so when Jason and I did the quiz, you know, we have two primary ones, but you're going to, when you go through the quiz that's in the book or on the website, it'll rank you for each of them. And so to some extent, gift giving is a love language for all of us, right? Like if somebody gives us a very thoughtful gift, it doesn't matter the cost on it. We're going to appreciate that and we're going to know that. But if that's all they're ever doing to show that appreciation, if that is not one of your top love languages, you're just going to think, well, but all I want is your time and you're just giving me gifts. Or you might think, this is great. This is my love language. So it's good to understand where these multiple items can fit in. I think I recall somewhere in the book that acts of service and gift giving are somewhat closely tied because it can be seen as giving somebody a gift to say, I'm going to cover the chores tonight. I'm going to handle the dinner tonight or things like that. So it is interesting that those two are particularly tied together.
So in keeping with what I've tried to do, again, we got Valentine's Day coming up. We're trying to tie this, identify that characteristic about our partner to help them think through what would be a gift that they would really appreciate. We're not necessarily even waiting till Valentine's Day, right? We can just take these ideas and roll with it. But under the gift giving, because a lot of times we think about a dollar amount attached to that. And there is no challenge here to say that you can't spend money on Valentine's Day. I don't want to be the one to say that. That's not me. That's not how I feel. But it is making sure that you give a gift. It's not from a cynical place. You're not doing it just because the Joneses next door are doing it and you have to make sure that your spouse or partner feels left out, et cetera. So here's my list. I just created one. It's not comprehensive. I get that. I'm not claiming the mantle of comprehensiveness on this, but I did think through it and I would love additional input from you if you want to add anything to it. I did ask my wife as I was kind of putting this together. So there's a couple of things from her. So in no particular order, but on the left-hand side, most of these are free. You know, a note. A gift can be a note. It can be a handwritten note. If you're thinking about that frame, something that you've put together can be a note. It can clearly be candy. A lot of people pre-order flowers. It could be a painting class. We talked about quality time. There's spillover benefits. So like there's some crossover here. Voiceover lessons. When my wife wanted to go She wanted to become a voiceover artist, actually do audiobook narration. It was something that we were leaning into. I was helping her learn the skill set, learning with her, but also supporting her and making sure she felt like she knew what that next thing was. It became obvious that one thing that she would really benefit from and appreciate is one-on-one time with someone, a voiceover coach. And someone in our community, when we mentioned it, said, my partner is actually a voiceover coach and she should go get the lesson from him. And I was like, that'd be a great gift. Let's do that. I think it was like $75. And I booked her a lesson with a voiceover coach down in Hampton Roads. We drove down there for the day, got a babysitter for our son. And it was 1 hour, like her life was changed. Like the gift was great. The coach was amazing. I'll have a link for his services in the show notes if you happen to be in the Hampton Roads area. But I'm telling you, what it really was a gift that was exactly what my wife wanted and wasn't expecting. And the last one here is just something that I think is an amazing gift. It has to do with your memories, right? Like doing something is great, but your memories of it can last forever if you put some energy into it. So what I have done as a gift for my family, for my wife, for individuals in the past is create a slideshow of memorable moments from the last year. I've done this almost every year, although right now I admit that I haven't done 2019 yet. It's on my to-do list, but it makes it so easy. If you have an Android or an iPhone or whatever, like they are locking all those photos down from you for the past year. They're not lost. They're in some sort of cloud storage. Go through them, pick out the big ones, put it all together, throw some music in the background, and then have a private slideshow for like your wife or family to say, these were our big memorable moments. Most of these were like very inexpensive. On the right-hand side, I actually have some physical objects that when we were having conversation, I was like, yeah, these would be pretty cool. And I asked my wife for one input, like, is there any gift or anything that we have gotten that you just want to give everybody because it's so, you know, awesome? And so we came up with two things and they're going to be kind of funny, but I think there's actually something here. One is a panini maker. I checked the price on it. It was about $85. And then two was a lemon squeezer. I don't know why these two made the list. I get they're silly and they're not universal, but a panini maker, we actually make some of our favorite meals at home with it, whether it be a quesadilla or a panini or anything else. Like that's fun. That's something we can do together. It brings that restaurant feel at home. And a lemon squeezer cocktail party for two. Anybody? I'm telling you, there's a way to up the ante on this. I've got some other things on the side there. I have the links for all of those in the show notes. But those two are ones that my wife said, these were awesome gifts. And so that's what we came up with. Brad, any other gifts that you want to mention? I know that's not your love language, but I'm sure that if with a couple minutes of reflection, you could come up with something.
Yeah, well, that was certainly an interesting list and an insight into the Mendoza house. But maybe an $85 panini maker. I'm seeing one for $32 here on Amazon. Which,
you know, I forgot to check that one. It might be us.
The non-Mendoza by the top of the line of everything.
Oh, yeah, so that's the Walmart model. That's fine. That's fine. You might have to replace Hamilton it every Beach, year and a half, but that's fine.
Hamilton Beach. One thing that I bought for Laura, she loves these chocolate-covered pretzels. I think she saw it in an advertisement in some store like Plow and Hearth or something. Plow and Hearth.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I literally went to the store. So here I'm stupidly thinking like this is the place where you need to get these from. And meanwhile, it's like a home goods store or something. Like I walk in, I'm like, so where are the chocolate covered pretzels? The woman's like, what on earth are you talking about?
Doesn't everybody come here for chocolate? Right. No, most people are here for farm equipment.
So Laura loved the pretzels, but she thought it was absolutely hilarious that I went to the ends of the earth to go to this one particular store when I could have gotten them essentially anywhere. But that was just something that, you know, I listened. And I went out of the way to get this particular thing that she liked. And I think really we're talking about anecdotes here, guys. What's really important is listening to the person that you're trying to give this gift to and trying to get an understanding of what will they appreciate, what will make them feel loved. That's the essence here.
And the last love language is probably doesn't surprise anyone. It's physical touch. So if your partner's love language is physical touch and you are no public displays of affection ever, ever, right? Then find some blend there and realize that your partner wants you to occasionally give them a pat on the back, give them a back rub, hold their hand, let them know that you appreciate them in a physical way. Here's one thing that I do with my family, actually, and we've actually made it a family ritual now. You can look into it. Everybody should Google this. It is called, I actually told you about it and you laughed at me about this, by the way, Brad, but I'm going to mention it again. It is called the 20-second hug. I do this with my kids and my wife. Now my son is so like loves this now that it's like a family ritual. There is significant evidence to support that when you hug someone for 20 seconds or more, 20 seconds, I think it's just the number, that a love hormone is released called oxytocin. But actually what that, how that manifests in your wife and your spouse and your kids is a sense of security, right? And we can all think about, you hear compression blankets are sold all the time to give you that sense of security. I had read about it and was as a joke. You should not do this with an acquaintance. This is not a way that you give, when you're giving someone, do not confuse the casual hug for a 20-second hug. You will lose friends quickly, and rightly so. But with your family and with your kids, 20-second hug is amazing. You may not have time to spend as much time as you want with your kids all the time, but the 20-second hug, and now what we do every single night, my son asks for it now. He's like, mommy, daddy, hug. We do, we all, he's like, it's like my son gets in the middle, he's holding on my wife, and we just hold each other and give each other a 20-second hug. And that is the last thing we do every single night. So you might not have all the time in the world, but you have 20 seconds. And this is a quick win that you can get to, like, just let your family know that you love them. And I tell you, kids, you know, they may develop specific love languages, but I think the 20-second hug could be universal.
Yeah, that is brilliant. And for the record, I can imagine no world where I made fun of you for this. So,
well, I think I was trying to give you a 20-second hug. So yeah. You're probably right all to right. do it.
There I might have, but maybe 10-second hug. Yeah, but no, you're absolutely right. I've certainly read studies about that as well. It reduces blood pressure and lowers cortisol levels, right? Like this is, there's no downside to this. If the person happens to be a physical touch love language person, it means all the more. So yeah, I mean, again, talk about something easy and inexpensive. Just show them your love. Like you said, hold their hand in public. It might be uncomfortable for you if you are not someone who is generally going to do that or look to do that. But if it means all the more to your spouse or significant other, why wouldn't you do it? So again, it's trying to find what connects with them. That is the whole essence of what we're talking about here.
Now, next, what I wanted to do is to really dial this up, Matt, increasing value. I didn't want it to be just our thoughts from the microphone. I actually wanted to see what our community's thoughts were. So what I did, and you can do this on your own time, just go into the Facebook group, choosify.com/Facebook. Go ahead and just search in the search bar Valentine's Day, and you will see all the posts and suggestions from 2019 Valentine's Day, right? And it's going to happen every single year. And so I just grabbed two from last year that are so valuable today. So the first post that I want to talk to you about, and if you're on the YouTube channel, you can actually see the post with the image that I'm talking about. It's tips from a florist. And this is actually Eric. And Eric in 2019 said, Happy Valentine's Day. He said, for most who think that it's a waste of money sending flowers on Valentine's Day, I agree, but only to a certain extent. My family has been in the floral business for the past 2 decades. During this season, flower farms triple and quadruple their prices so that price increases trickle down to wholesalers, then to us flower shops. It's just basic supply and demand. With that said, the surprise and joy of receiving a beautifully designed arrangement with wonderful fragrance not only makes the recipient happy, the joy also spreads throughout the office and anyone that sees the flower. This is what I enjoy most about this holiday. And he said, with that in mind, and you can see, look how happy this guy is. Like, it's amazing. With that in mind, here are some tips and hacks for Valentine's Day. One, picking up and sending your own flowers can save you money since you don't pay a delivery fee. Two, deliver 1 or 2 days before Valentine's Day. Many florists offer discounts for delivering early. Three, give and send an indoor or desk plant, like a succulent garden, so your special someone can continue to enjoy the arrangement even after Valentine's Day. Four, express your love and appreciation throughout the year and send flowers on random days just because. That way, you don't have to do anything special on this day because every day is special. And then number five, chocolates usually go on sale at 1/2 the price the day after the holiday. So that's when I buy the expensive chocolate and reward myself for being the happy but exhausted Cupid. And then he says, off to the next delivery. So Eric, if you want me to link to your family's florist business in the show notes for the episode, just go ahead and send it over. We'll have that in the show notes of this page. But I love it. I think your tips are timeless. And I think there are those of us that can get cynical because we do see a wall of pink and red. We see $7 or $8 or $10 cards that are just ridiculous, you know, and we remove ourselves from the fact that what we're really trying to do is acknowledge that we love someone and we're not limited to Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And I think what Eric put in there is actually really important. If you can still celebrate, like let's say you just don't want to deal with the overinflated prices. There are ways around that. I've heard of people for Mother's and Father's Day where they actually switch the dates. So on Father's Day, when every golf course in America is full and they jack up the rates and et cetera, celebrate that as Mother's Day and go out for whatever the mom in the house wants to do, right? Go to brunch or whatever might otherwise be full on Mother's Day. So just you can switch things around. You can make, instead of February 14th being Valentine's Day, make it arbitrarily, because it's just arbitrary anyway, make it February 21st. you can get the same items you were going to get them for a fraction of the cost. So again, it's just being a little bit cute, a little bit different, and thinking outside the box.
And the last thing I wanted to say here from the community, there were a bunch of posts I had to pick two, was this is from Rebecca. She and if you're looking at the slide here, you can see this on YouTube. She says, don't get me wrong, my husband and I love a good restaurant, but a fun, cost-effective alternative for Valentine's dinner, Brad, help me with this word, is a charcuterie board?
Yeah, that's right.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, perfectly.
Oh, nice. We enjoy picking all the things we love, making a nice cocktail or getting a good bottle of wine, throw in some nice music and a candlelit table, and it's a quiet, romantic night. Easily half the price by the time you skip paying for parking and tipping. And just look how yummy this one was we just made. I mean, wow. You can make anything at home, right? And what an experience. How awesome could that be?
Yeah. No, that's incredible. It's making me hungry already.
All right. Final thoughts here. Mine are be creative. Don't feel pressure to celebrate on the exact day, but also don't go to your spouse and or partner in a very cynical way and say, I don't want to celebrate Valentine's Day because I don't believe in that consumer crap. And I just, whatever, it's a Hallmark holiday. If you're going to say that, recognize that your spouse can be very worried that what you're actually saying is I don't feel the need to express my love or affection in any way. So if you go with this, I'm perfectly happy not celebrating on Valentine's Day, but don't say that statement. Instead, say, you know, I think every day should be Valentine's Day, and I want us to schedule time throughout the year to do this, not limit it to one day a year. And in lieu of that, I don't want to celebrate it on Valentine's Day. You know, I think that's kind of like my thought. Consider bringing the events into the home. Use this season, this Valentine's season, as an excuse to find out what your partner's love language is. Try that cocktail party for two. Brad, you want to add anything onto that?
Yeah, that's a good summary, certainly. And I would say you have to try to understand where they're coming from. Then think ahead. Think what would make them happy based on that new knowledge you have, right? So we're talking about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day this year happens to fall on a Friday. And I just looked at my Google calendar and I have nothing on the calendar that day. So what I'm going to do is I'm literally going to put Brad and Laura X, right? Brad and Laura, time for whatever, for 5 hours in the middle of the day. And that might mean we go on a hike. We drive an hour west to the mountains, go to a brewery, go on a hike, and just have a wonderful day together. That will mean so much more to Laura than if I bought her $1,000 pair of earrings or some other nonsense like that. That's just not her thing. So why would I do that? But she will do backflips when she sees that I went out of my way proactively. She didn't have to ask for that time. I set it up. So you have to know where they're coming from.
Brad, I always, as much as I love your words, I like the idea of giving MK the final word. MK?
Yeah, I think this was a great way to talk through how you can make this holiday special in your own way. I know for us, Jason's birthday is actually the day after Valentine's Day, so we never really celebrate it because I don't want to make a big deal out of this Hallmark holiday when his birthday is much more important. So it's always good to understand what works for you as a couple. You know, to Brad's point, make it a different day on the calendar that's important to you to express how you feel about each other. And this can be for more than just your romantic relationships. This can be a special day where you show how you feel about your kids, how you feel about your parents, other members of your family, to really let them know that you care about them. And I think that's important to remember too, that again, it doesn't have to be costly. It doesn't have to be an excessive amount of effort, but when you continue to show that care throughout the year, that obviously makes it much easier to then say, let's not celebrate on the day everybody else is celebrating, because they'll already feel that connection to you. And I think that relates back to a lot that we do. You know, if you are only saving money in January because that's the month that you decided you want to get everything together for your finances, but you kind of blow your budget the rest of the year, it's not going to work. And that's kind of how the love tank works. You have to keep adding into it all the time. And so that is something to keep in mind too. Like your love tank, your FI tank, whatever tank it is you're trying to fill, you have to keep filling it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and switch gears just for a second on our Friday roundup. Like, we really think about the Choosify community as a community. And as a community, there are new things happening all the time. And we use the Friday roundup as an opportunity to give you the latest announcements. So I know some people are just listening to the 2017 episodes and they're getting announcements for 2017. They're trying to catch up. Well, you're caught up. You listen to this episode today, you're caught up. And so, MK, what announcements do you have from the community?
Yeah. So we have several local groups are getting together in the month of February. So on February 4th, ChooseFI Central Illinois is having a kickoff for a series of virtual meetings where they're going to discuss the FI 101 lessons that we just launched this past weekend. So they're going to be coming together to go over those lessons throughout the month of February, but that is starting on February 4th. That is a Tuesday. They're going to do that every Tuesday. If you're in Central Illinois, you can join in. And then on February 13th, ChooseFI South Florida, Miami, they're going to be discussing Quit Like a Millionaire at this meeting. That is the book by Christy and Bryce, who have been on the podcast several times. And their book, Quit Like a Millionaire, is actually the book of the month for the ChooseFI Book Club in February. So it's great that they're going to be discussing that. And you can join in the conversation for the book club if you go to the Facebook group for the ChooseFI Book Club. You can find that by going to our local group page and clicking over to cohort groups. And that's at ChooseFI.com/local.
Awesome. Now, I think as you were talking about that, as you're talking about books, I think we have an announcement regarding the Simple Startup. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yes. So we announced Rob's books last week. This is a high school curriculum for entrepreneurship. So there is an instructor manual that a teacher or a parent can use with their student, with their child. And then there is the student workbook as well. So this walks the student through the entire process for coming up with the idea for a business. How are you going to fund it? How are you going to do your market research, your prototype? So as we were going through and creating this series of workbooks and this curriculum that Jonathan's holding up, so many people on the ChooseFI team, as they were looking at it, were saying, this is the class I wish I had in high school.
Yes.
I didn't need to know about middle, European history in the 1500s. I didn't need to know about, physics and things like that. Well, I guess the engineers in the audience did. But if I had known about entrepreneurship, I would have better understood how to start my own business or understood the needs of the business that I worked for.
It's amazing.
So this is something we're really excited to get out. You can find out more about it at thesimplestartup, all one word, .com. And you can do a bulk order if you are a school administrator. We will have that option available so you can get a nice discount for your school district.
You got to have them side by side, Brad. They got to see us. Two versions.
Yeah, MK, these arrived in the mail here for us today. The books are gorgeous. They are amazing. I mean, to say that I was blown away would be the biggest understatement of the world. I showed this to Laura and she's like, ChooseFI made this? This is a stunt. Like, she didn't even know that this was being created. And I mean, this thing is a work of beauty. You're absolutely right. If I was learning this, I mean, I would be so far ahead of where I was, at 18, at 22, than if I had just studied, like you said, middle history or some other things that you learn. Like, this is amazing.
I don't know if you're just going to get one. I don't know if I would get this. I understand. I'm going to come back to this. But if you're just going to get one, I don't know if I would get the instructor manual or the student workbook. On page 84, the instructor manual is teaching you how to teach your kids or the students you're working with how to do an elevator pitch. Like, that is so powerful. You don't hear about that. And so, MK, like, the target for this, as an individual, you could be a parent working with your kid. Obviously, that's kind of like let's purchase one or two for our kids and work through them in the course of a classroom. You could have a homeschool group or a cohort group. You could work through this over the course of the semester. I think we're working on getting some sort of bulk order available for this. You could be working inside of a school system and have some sort of control over the types of curriculums that are rolled out. This will not let you down. This is amazing. Nothing like this has existed, and it's beautiful and it's fun to work with.
Exactly. And to Jonathan's point, where the instructor manual actually teaches the teacher how to go through the content, one of the things that Rob found when he was teaching this course was that he would try to get some of his other friends who are teachers to go through the curriculum with their students, but they didn't know the concepts of starting a business. They didn't feel qualified to teach the course. So the idea is that if you are a teacher and you have never run your own small business before, that you'll be learning along with the student so that you can feel confident in presenting this material and also maybe make a little extra money because you're a teacher and we know you deserve more, but budgets are what they are. So hopefully you can make more as well from the knowledge you gain.
Yeah, and just a huge thank you and congrats to Rob for creating this, for Giada, for the amazing layout and design. I mean, this thing is astonishing. And again, it's at thesimplestartup.com.
Well, unfortunately, that's going to bring this episode to a close. Now, as you know, we like to finish every episode by doing a drawing for a copy of a book that we have found useful. There's actually, right now we're offering our book, ChooseFI, Your Blueprint to Financial Independence, which can be found anywhere the books are sold. But if you want to win a free copy, that's what we're about. That's what we're telling you how to do today. To do that, just go to chooseFI.com/iTunes. Follow the instructions there. Leave us a short written review. send us an email to feedback@choosefi.com, letting us know that you left a review and what screen name you left it under. We give away one book for every 5 written reviews that we get, and we announce the winner on our Friday roundup. So MK, how many winners do we have today?
Well, today we'll be announcing 2 winners to kind of catch up from last week. So the first winner is John. John wrote, "There are precious few podcasts that are more than just entertaining or interesting, but actually cross over into the category of life course altering. Choose Fi is one of them. I stumbled onto this community a year ago, and it really has changed how I look at my career, my family, and my life in general. Brad and Jonathan's energy and positivity is contagious, and I look forward to each new episode." Thanks, John.
All right, MK, and the second winner is Josh.
Correct. So Josh wrote, "As someone who considered himself as financially literate, this podcast has drastically influenced my chosen path towards my financial future. After listening to a few episodes, I found myself going back and listening to dozens and dozens of past episodes to catch up on all the addictive information. It was amazingly humble to find a better plan than the one I had created for myself. Brad and Jonathan, thank you and the Fi community for making this show as great as it is. I know that my current and future self and family owe you a debt of gratitude for improving our well-being."
That's amazing. We are so thrilled and honored to be a part of this community and continue to bring the voice of this community to the show twice a week. All right, my friends, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.